Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Chaim Hillowitz. Maseches Sota has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Noach Stengel Le'ilui Nishmas, Ephraim Eliyahu ben Yosef and Chana Bas Shmuel Halevi.
Soto daf Chafav. The Gemara in the middle of the Brisa that cites here at the top of Amun Aleph recounts the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbanon that we already encountered in the Mishnah regarding Muberes Chavero. Rabbi Meir said, you cannot be mashke muberes chavero, and Rabbanon held, you can. Here, the Gemara adds an explanation, because Rabbi Meir held that once one has already had beer with muberes chavero, he deserves a knas, and he would never remarry her even after the vlad is out of danger. Still, he loses the ability to marry her forever. And Rabbanon held that there's no knas, he can simply be purished from her for the requisite time, and then he can remarry her, and therefore, she's considered to be roy lishtia. Now we have a machlokas here between Rashi and the Rambam, similar to the machlokas we encountered earlier in Chav Dalet with regard to the Chavi Lavin of Amanel Kohen Gadol. We have a similar machlokas here, why it is that Rabbi Meir held you cannot be mashke the Muberes Chavero. Rashi on the Mishnah Chav Dalet said it's because she's Eino Ru'uya L'Kaima, similarly to what we find in the Chavi Lavin. Rashi said that because the Pasuk said Kisista Ishto, it has to be an Isha, which is Ru'uya L'Isha. So similarly as well, we're Fukir from the same Drasha, this Isser of Muberes Chavero, even though it's only a Drabanon, but still, the Rabbanon said that because she's not royally Ishos, you cannot be mashke her. And even though, to clear confusion, Rashi here at the top Rashi says, Lo Shosos Iksiv Tachas Isha. And one might have gotten the impression that's going on the Drasha of Muberes Chavero, which is also the top line of our Gemara here in Chavav. Both the Marshal and the Minchas Kano say this Rashi is out of place. It's really going on the sugi before in Chafhei of Arusa v'Shomer Siyavim, as the Gemara earlier on Chav Dalet said, was the miyat for Arusa v'Shomer Siyavim from Tachas Isha. That's what that Rashi is going on, and the real reason why Muberes Chaver, according to Rameir, cannot be a Shosa is because, as Rashi said on Chav Dalet, she's in a Ru'uya le'isha. So that's the opinion of Rashi, and Rashi is consistent, as we pointed out, with regard to Chai V'Lavin as well. However, the Rambam is also consistent with Shitase, and the Perishan Mishnayos, he says that, no, the time for Rabbi Meir is that the Baal is not Manukami Avon. Once he's been bought on the Isha Mu'uberes, then he's not Manukami Avon, and for the same reason he gave in the Chai V'Lavin, he cannot now be Mashke, the woman. Now, in terms of why the Rabbanon argue Rabbi Meir, so according to Rashi, it's quite simple. Since the Rabbanon, as our Gemara is clear, do not have the Knas, and they allow the man to remarry the Muberes Chavero, therefore the woman is really Isha, so he can marry her after the time has elapsed. According to the Rambam, however, it's not as simple, because according to the Rambam, even though it's true that Rabbanon hold he may remarry her, but Rabbi Meir was not coming because of the fact that this woman is usher for him to marry, but because the man was ba on the Muberes Chavero, then he's Einem Menukmi Avon. Why wouldn't Rabbanon also agree to that status of the man being Einem Menukmi Avon? And it's Muchach, the case has to be that he was in fact ba on the woman, because otherwise, anyway, he wouldn't be able to be mashke her, because we would have the chisaron of lo kadma shchiva sabal l'shchiva saboyal, as we already saw in Chavdal and Mebeis. Therefore, since it's muchach, the man was ba on the Muberes Chaver, why would Rabbanon consider that it's not a menukum yavon? So all the achronim explain this based on the lashon of the Rambam in Perek Beis Halacha Ches. The Rambam writes, l'fi she'ein avera. We don't see an avera here in this relationship between the man and Muberes Chaver, and the Mishnah Melech and the Keren Ora, and the Minchas Chinuch all explain what the Rambam means, is that the only type of avon that will hold the man accountable for to say that because of that avera he's not menukami avon is where it's an iser bia. The woman herself is an isha asura to the man. When he's born that woman, then the avera prevents us from allowing the man to be mashke this woman. However, when it comes to the knas, or the gzera of Muberes Chavero, that we don't want people being born Muberes Chavero for the fear that it'll do harm to the vlad, so then, it's not because the isha is an isha asura. There's some other side reason that doing this activity with the woman might bring danger or damage to the vlad. And since the woman is not be'etzem aser, it's also only machmas dover acher that the bia with her is aser, but the etzem bia with the woman is perfectly mutter. So then, the Rambam felt that's not an avera. We disallow it so they shouldn't do damage to the vlad. But the etzem bia is mutter, and therefore the isha is not considered to be an isha asura. There's no bia asura here. And therefore, the Rabbanon held that that's why their man is still considered to be Menuka Mi'avon. Now, we discussed earlier on Afchav Dala, the Ravid took issue with the Rambam. On the Pesach, the Rambam had made that someone who's Ba ala Rusoso Bebeis Avia is considered to be Eino Menuka Mi'avon. The Ravid said there's Mavur in the Sugya, not like that. And we already discussed the approaches of the Kesem Mishnah and the Shar HaMelech as to what the Ravid was getting at, which Sugya he meant. They learned he meant the Sugya in Afchav Dala Bebeis. The Mishnah Melech there understands that no, the Rav is really getting an arsugya. He felt that arsugya is a stira to the Rambam's psak that a person who's bala resasim vesavia is not menukum yavon, and his ray is from the shita of the Rabbanon with regard to muber schaveru. Inasmuch as we see in our sugya that the Rabbanon hold one can be mashke muber schaveru, and as we just explained from the Achronim, that Rambam's havana in that is because there's no aver on the etzem mabia. The woman is isha muteres, and it's only something else, something mitzad acher, which is preventing the man from doing the bia. The Rabbi felt, well, the same thing is true for an arusa. Ba'etzem the isha is perfectly muter. All he has to do is have a chuppah, have an isun with her, and then she'll be muteres into gamri. The Rabbanan said, don't have the bia in the meantime until you do that. The Rabbi felt there's no difference, there's no distinction we can draw between an arusa and a muberes chaveru. The same way that the Rambam said in arusa, Hagam that Ba'etzim she's mutter, but because the status she's in right now, there's something ushering the Bia, then the Rambam considered that the Be'ena Menukum Yavon. He should have said the same thing with regard to Muberes Chaveru. And since our sugya is Mavur, the Rabbanon held that's not true, that Muberes Chaveru is not, can be considered Ena Menukum Yavon according to the Rabbanon, that should be a Pircha, and that which the Rambam maintained, that Arusa and Be'savia is considered Ena Menukum Yavon. And the Mishnah Melech explains further the rationale of the Rabbit is that both of these, situations, both of Muberes Chaveru and Arusa, they both have a solution. In other words, they both are time-bound. The Isser is only until something else happens. For the case of Muberes Chaveru, until the plod is born and weaned. And in the case of Arusa, until one does the chuppah. So since there's a solution to the problem, why wouldn't the Rambam be consistent and consider both of these matzovim to be ones of Menuka Mi'ovim? The Mishnah Melech also asks another question of Rambam himself. He says, inasmuch as Rambam told us that Be'etzem, the Bia is a Bia Muteres, and the reason that the Rabbanon say that the man is Menukum Yavon with regard to Meberes Chaveru is because Ein Kan Aveira, there's no Aveira in the Etzem Bia. So why do Rabbi Meir argue, even if Rabbi Meir, as Ar Gemara tells us, has a Knas, says he may not marry the woman forever, but Lechor, it's not a reason to say that the Bia is a Bia Asura. The Rabbanon gave a punishment for someone who violated their instructions not to be born this woman because of the Sakana Safad. They gave a Knas. Why would that turn the woman into someone who's a Bia Asura? And the Mishnah Melech, rather, leaves these two issues unresolved. First of all, what's the difference between the Arusa and Muberes Chaveru, the question that the Ravid was asking in the opinion of the Mishnah Melech? And second of all, what is Pratt Rabbi Meir that he holds it's Ein Menukum Yavon according to the Rambam, if the Rambam says Ein Kan Aveira, there isn't any Aveira in the Bia. So with regard to the first question, the Chorav will have to say that the Rambam will consider an Arusa different than Muberes Chaveru, in the sense that an Arusa has a Shem Arusa. That's her name right now. She's called Arusa. And Arusa, the Rabbanan decided, is Aser. And even though there's a solution to this problem, there is a way of taking away the Shem Arusa. But in the meantime, the status of Arusa is devolves upon the woman. And it's not like Muberes Chaveru. Muberes Chaveru is Be'etzem Isha Muteres. There's no shame Isra. There's no shame Isha Asura that would be considered to have an Avera with the Bia of Muberes Chaveru. Just Rabbanon didn't want people to do such actions of Bia with Muberes Chaveru for fear of endangering the Vlad. Mashenkin and Arusa, the Rambam held that Hagam, that this problem can be solved, but the shame Arusa itself is a shame Isra. Therefore, it is considered the person who was born in Isha Asura and is Eino Menukum Yavon. As far as the second question went, that the Mishnah Melech asked, why does Rabbi Meir consider the Muberes Chaveru to be Ein Menukum Yavon if the Rambam held there's no Avera? So here also, we'll have to say a Chiddush, L'chor, and the Sefer Keren Ora and Bekan Dav Chav Dalet is mastering this way. That inasmuch as Rabbi Meir is telling us that there's a Knas, that he cannot marry this woman even after the Vlad is gone, the Vlad does not pose a problem anymore to the Bia with this woman, so it must be that the gedder that Rabbanan gave, as they said, this Isha is an Isha Asura. The way that Rabbanan said this Knas is not simply, well, you got a punishment, you can't marry her. The Rabbanan made this Isha into a Chavtza Disura. And if the issue is a chetzit yisur, that's where a mayor held that there's no excuse. The man will be called Einu Menukum Yavon. So in other words, when the Rambam said that Muberes Chaveru is not an Avera, it's only according to the Rabbanon. But according to a mayor, even though the source, that which caused us to say that the woman would be usher is simply because of the knas that the person got for violating what the Rabbanon said, but the way the Rabbanon created that knas was to say there is an Avera. There is an Avera in the SMB, the Isha becomes an Isha Asura to the man, and therefore he achieves the status of Einu Menukum Yavon. So just to summarize, with regard to Muberes Chaveru, Rashi and the Rambam have the same machlokas they had with regard to Chavilavin as well in regard to Muberes Chaveru, whether or not the reason cannot be mashka is because of Eino roi leishus, Rashi said, or it's because eino nukmi avon. We saw that Achronim explained that the opinion of the Rabbanon, according to the Rambam, that the wan is nukmi avon in Ruber's Chavir is because there's no aveira, there's simply the vlad, which is making it dangerous to do the bia, but there's no etzem bia, isser in the bia itself. The Rav seemed to have understood, according to the Mishnah Melech, that the there's no way to distinguish between Arusa and Ruber's Chavero with regard to Inim Rikavon, and we tried to suggest a mahalach for the Rambam. The Rambam held Arusa as a shame isser, and as well as the Chan Rabbi Meir, as to why Rabbi Meir held that Inim Ruber's Chavero is considered Inim Rikavon, the Mishnah Melech was Miskasha. And again, Lachar, we said, based on the Karen Ora, the Chan has to be that the Rabbana, when they made their Knas, they created a shame isser called Ruber's Chavero, that the Isher itself is Asura, and therefore the man is considered to be Inim Menukum Yavon.
The Gemara discusses the question of whether one can be mashke a woman who's not a bas banim, who's not fertile and capable of bearing children. For example, an akara or a zakena, a barren woman, or a woman who's too old to bear children, or an islandess, according to one man domar. And it brings the halacha that if the husband has a wife and children from another woman who is childbearing, then l'kuli alma, he can be mashke the non-childbearing woman. Whereas if he does not have children or a wife, then it's a machlokas afir tanakama. He cannot be mashke, whereas afir Rabbi Eliezer, because he's capable of marrying another woman and being part of a rava with her, then he can be mashke the akara or the zikina. And Rashi back in Daf Chaf Hamid Beis says that the reason for the rabbanon that we're mamayit the akara zikina in the event that the husband doesn't have a wife or children from shtia is because she's lo chaz yulakaima. That it's not chazi to stay married to a woman who is not childbearing if the husband does not otherwise engage in with some other woman the attempt at peruvu. Now, both the Mishnah Melech in two places, in Hilchas Nara Besula and in Hilchas Sota, as well as the Tosis Yontif on our Mishnah, write that this Isser of being Mekayim Isha is not childbearing is only an Isser Drabbana, and it's only a Takana or a Siyug, in order to make sure that people are osik and puravu. But nonetheless, we've seen already other examples in our Mishnah of women where the Isser is only drabbanan, and yet we still consider them to be not royal ishus, and remind them from the parasha of Sota. We already saw earlier, Muber's Chaver, according to Rabbi Meir, which is only Isser drabbanan, or Chalutza, Lekon Hedjo, which the Mepharshim say is only drabbanan, and yet that still qualifies her not being royal ishus, and therefore we're reminded, according to the Rabbanan, from the possibility of being mashke, the woman is not basbanim. I should point out, the Rambam writes in Perek Beis Halacha Yud Anyan Aleph of Hilchas Sota that it's not required that the man have both a wife and children in order for us to say it's able to be mashke that karo zakena. It's enough if he has either a wife or children. Now, the Tosfos and Daf Chavav and Aleph in both Divrei Maaskel Lo Yisa and in Divrei Maaskel Lo Beres quotes the Rishalmi that tells us an important halacha, which opens up a lot of the questions of how to look at the mi'utim in our entire parak. The Yerushalmi says that in this case of an isha she'imlo, excuse me, a man who has no isha ubanim, and he's married to a non-childbearing woman, that what happens if the man acquires the isha or the banim in between the kinoi and the stira? In other words, he does the kinoi on the isha, which is not childbearing, then he goes in and he marries, or he has a child from a previous wife, of who was childbearing in between the kina and the stira, and then afterwards the non-childbearing woman, the akara or the zakena, has stira. Do we say in that case he can be mashke the non-childbearing woman, the akara? So the Yerushalmi says it all depends at the time of the kinui. If at the time of the kinui the man was not married to any other woman and he had no other children, then even if that though by the time the steer comes along the man does have children or does have another wife, since at the time of the kinui the woman, the childbearing woman, was not royal kaima, he was not able to be kaimer because he had no other wife or children, so she was already nidche from the shtia. The lashon of the Yerushalmi is for nireis shelo lishtois, she's already been nidche for the possibility of being masker, and therefore even though now she be'etzem could be a baskinui, still we say that the since the kinoi is at a time when she was not chazi, the kinoi is ineffective and you cannot be mashke her. However, in the opposite case, where at the time of the kinoi, the man, the husband, was married to a woman who was childbearing and or had children, even if then the children die or the wife is, he divorces the wife or the wife dies, and now at the time of the stira, the time of the shtia, the only wife he has is the wife who's not childbearing, and that wife is not royal akaima in its current state. Still, nonetheless, because at the time of the kinui, the man had a heter to marry this woman, she was royal ish at the time of the kinui, that's sufficient, and he can be mashker. And as well, the Rambam, over there in Perek Beis Halachit Aleph, brings down this Yerushalmi. Now, there's a lot of unclarities which stem from this Yerushalmi. First of all, what is the extent of this halacha that everything is toli on the Shas Kinui? So, for example, the Mishlei Melech is mistapik. What would be on an Isser Daraisa? As we mentioned, Mishlei Melech assumed that the Isser of marrying a non-childbearing woman when one does not have another wife or children is all under Rabbanon. And there, here, the Yerushalmi is telling us that in such a situation, it's enough if the man had a heter to marry this woman, b'shas kinui, even if he did not have a heter, b'shas the stira or the shtia. What would be an issa deraisa? What would be if a man was married to a woman who was usher to him at midaraisa at the time of the shtia, but not at the time of the kinui, or vice versa? And the Mishnah Melech finds cases, various situations where this could come up, that something in the status of the man and the woman could change, which would turn a woman who was usher midaraisa into a woman hamutaris, or vice versa. So would the same halacha apply that everything would be totally on the kinoi, that if at the time of the kinoi, the woman was right to the husband, even if she became aser midaraisa later, we would say it could be mashker her? Or in the opposite case, if at the time of the kinoi she was aser midaraisa, and then later she became roi, would we say there the same thing is true, that he could not be mashker? This is the suffix of the Mishlei Melech. Similarly, the Minchas Chinuch is mistapik about a different class of women. At the end, the Gemara at the end of our perek brings a list of women and husbands, for that matter, who have certain physical infirmities, which, based on drushas and miutim, we say that they are not able to do the parasha. Sota talks over there about men or their husbands who are unable to see, unable to hear, who are lame, unable to talk. And the Gemara makes various drushas to say that these people are nismait from the parasha of Sota. Again, the Minchas Chinuch is mistapik. What about if those infirmities developed between the kinui and the stira, or between the kinui and the shtia? Would we say that so long as the people, the husband or the wife, did not have these infirmities, were able to talk and speak or hear, or were not lame, etc., at the time of the kinui, that would be sufficient, even if those infirmities develop later, at the time of the shtia, they are not roi? And also, what about vice versa? What if they were not roi at the time of the kinui, but they were healed, or they attained those qualities at the time of the shtia? Would that be enough? That's a suffix that the Minchas Chinuch is mistapik. Now, in addition to these sfeikos, which the Achronim have, the Sefer Keren Ora asks questions. He says, Sarachin Tuva, the entire svara of this Yerushalmi makes no sense. First of all, he says, the svara to say that kinui should be sufficient, as Yerushalmi says, that really the deciding time is the kinui, that if the kinui, the man was married to another woman or had other children, and therefore he was able to stay married to this non-childbearing woman, that should be sufficient, it doesn't make any sense. Why should we look at the time of the kinui more than the time of the stira or the time of the shtia? All right, the shtia is really coming on the stira, and it's coming to determine whether or not during the stira the woman was nitnes or not. Why would we care if at the time of the kinui the marriage was kosher or not kosher, the woman was royal akim or not? We should care more about the shtia. And moreover, he asks, that what Yerushalmi said, that was insufficient if the woman was not royally ishus at the time of the kinui, but was royally ishus, and therefore royal ishtia, at the time of the stira, at the time of the shtia, that that's not enough. We cannot be mashka her. He says, we find several examples in our parak where this is not the case. First of all, the etzem halacha of arusa, as our braisa mentioned, the Gemara early in Chafei as well, cited the halacha, that a person can be mekane the arusa when she's in arusa, and then wait for if the stira then happens after the marriage, mishikonse nistira, he could be mashka her. Even though at the time when he did the kinoi and she was only in arusa, he was not able to be mashka her, because as we learned earlier in the parak, there's a miut on the arusa from isha, prat la arusa. So despite the fact that at the time of the kinoi, she was not a bas shtia, since she becomes a bas shtia, she becomes married to him, not only as arusa, but a full wife, by the time of the stira, the time of the shtia, he could be mashka her. So we see in that example that kinoi is not the deciding factor, but the opposite, the time of the stira is a deciding factor. As well, the Keren Ora brings a Tosefta, which Al-Khari is poshet the Savik we mentioned from the Minchas Chinuch, about the people who are minismayit from the various psukim because of their physical infirmities. The Tosefta is mavur that the possibility exists of a man who was a cheresh, a man who was deaf, and that's one of the miutim the Gemara has there in Afchav Zayin, who then regains his hearing, he becomes able to hear, and even though he was not, he was still a cheresh at the time of the kinui, so long as at the time of the shtia, he's mispakeach, he has now the ability to hear, he can be Mashka's wife. So the Karen Arpu, Zulchar, we see from there again, that even though at the time of the kinui, it was not right to do the shtia, still, since at the time of the shtia, it became right for the parasha, the miutim went away, that's enough, it's sufficient to be able to be Mashka there, so why wouldn't we say the same thing for an Isha She'ena Bas Banim, that Yerushalmi is saying that exactly the opposite, that the kinui is the deciding time and not the time of the stira or the time of the shtia. The Keren Ora doesn't ask this question. We can ask another question from the discussion that Rishonim here have. The Gemara mentions the case of Mu'beres Atzmo, that it's a person is able to be mashkim uveres atzmo, and there's a machlokes here between Rashi, Tosfos, and the Rambam as to whether or not the shtia is done when she's still a muberes, or no, we wait till after the vlad is born in order not to hurt the vlad, and then only that we put the vlad in danger. Only then do we do the shtia. Tosfos is of the opinion that we wait till after the birth of the vlad, and only then do we do the shtia to see whether or not the woman will be punished or not. The Karen Ora, in fact, later brings a sifri zuta that makes a drasha from the pasuk of Veniksa Venizra Zara that we can only do a shtia on a woman who is not zarua, who is not pregnant. If she is expecting right now, then we cannot do shtia on her. He says that's a raya to the shita of Tosfos that we do not do shtia on a woman who's muberes. So again, we see a case where a person is allowed to be mekana to muberes atzmo, even though right now she's not right l'shtia, as the Karen Ora brought from the Sefer Zuta, because she's nismayit from the pasuk of Inizra that a muberes is not a bashtia, and yet nonetheless it's mevor in the Gemara that once the ibor goes away, once the vlad is born, then we can be mashka the woman, even though she was not a bashtia during the time of the kinnui. So we have really three examples of cases where, even though the woman were not benos shtia at the time of the kinoi, still we're able to be masker. That's the case of Arusa, the case of Eshes Cheresh, that the Tosefta says that the Karen Ora brought, as well as the case of Muberes Atzmo. So these are El Chorot Pirchas in the entire Yerushalmi. Be'ezus Hashem, in order to understand this Yerushalmi, we would like to submit a mahalach that has a chilek in the different classes of women that we've encountered in our parak. In part, this mahalach is based on the Sefer Dvar Sha'ol, and also a little bit of the Taras Kanois. They express chilukim to try to be miyash of the Yerushalmi from the Karen Ora's questions, and also to answer the Sveikos of the Mishnah Melech and the Minchas Chinuch. But Mirta Hashem, this, the chiluk will say, is partially based on what they say, but it's more comprehensive. Mirta Hashem answers all and helps us understand how we can juggle all of the different categories of women that we see in our parak, and therefore it's something to highlight, because it really is a sweeping mahalach to try to understand the mi'utim in our parak from Shtia. And the chilek is going to be whether or not the woman be'etzem is royal ishus. She is someone who, other than outside of the parasha of Sota, there's no problem with her to marry her. She says that there's some mi'ut in the parasha of Sota which says that for whatever reason you can't be mashka her. She's nismayed from Shtia. She's royal ishus, but not royal Shtia. As opposed to women who are not royal ishus at all. Even outside of the parasha of Sota, there's an independent problem which we'll encounter in having ishus, which is woman, which has nothing to do with the parasha of Sota. When we discuss or consider women who are not royal ishus be'etzem, for example, Chai V'Lavin in our Mishnah, or Muberes Chavero, according to Rabbi Meir, people of that nature. So there, it's very mistaver that we should have to say that the women are kosher mitchila v'adsof. In other words, this problem, this chai v'lavin, this iser, which is external to the parasha of Sota, if it exists at any point in time during the entire process, from the beginning of the kinoi till the shtia, then the woman will be nismayit. And the reason for this is quite simple, because as Rashi told us at the beginning of the perek, the miyat on a woman who is not royally ishus comes in the very first pasuk in Parashas Sota, isha ishki sista ishto, that one of the basic building blocks of creating the parasha of Sota to have kinui, the stira and shtia, is that it should be ishto, and the ishto tells us it has to be someone who's royally ishus. Someone who's not royally ishus, bain if it's midaraisa, bain if it's midrabana, but there's an etzem avera, there's a lav, an iser, in the ishus with this woman, there is might legamri from the parasha of Sota. And therefore, even though the Mishnah Melech was mistopic about if you have an Isser, a Lav, a Daraisa in the marriage, whether or not the Klal of the Yerushalmi applies, L'chora, it's mistopic that if at any point during the process of carrying out the Parasha Sota and all the mitzvahs that it has, the woman attains the status of Eina Royal Ishus, then that's it. It's all over. The Torah was not talking about such a woman when it discussed the various components of Parasha Sota. But when it comes to women who there's no problem with the ishus, the woman herself, Misad Adzim, is perfectly mutter. It's just that within the parasha of Sota, we have some miyut, we have some impediment that Torah told us from being mashke the woman. For example, an ishus cheresh that the Gemara later on has a pasuk to be memayit, or an muberes atzmo that the Karen Ora brought from the Sifri Zuta that does a miyut on her, or an arusa where the Gemara earlier heard a drasha of isha pral arusa. All these women are perfectly married to mutter. It's mutter to marry an arusa. It's mutter to marry for a cheresh to marry a woman. It's certainly mutter to have a muberes atzmo. And the only problem is within an internal sota problem. So in these type of women, then it's mistaver that so long as there's a shas akashra, so long as the women were ra'i for us to be mashka them at some point during the process of the sota, that would be enough for us to say that they're shayach to the parasha of sota. Only if they're legamri not part of the parasha sota, they're nitcha mitchila va'atsof, from being a woman who's right to be in the, have the parasha sota done to her, then the meat would apply. But if they're chazi for the parasha at some point, whether it's a shas kinui, whether it's a shas stira or the shtia, then it would be enough for us to say that you could perform the parasha on her. And that's why it is that in the examples of Arusa, in the examples of Muberes Atzmo, and in the case of Eshes Cheresh, it's not the required that the kinui, at the time of the kinui, the woman be roi for Eshes, for Sota. It's enough if she only becomes later roi for the parasha of Sota. Now, there is one case which is in the middle, and that's the case which Yerushalmi quoted, the case of an Isha She'ena Bas Banim. And that's because the Isha She'ena Bas Banim really has elements of both of these types of situations. On the one hand, the Isha Mitzad Atzma is not royal Isha. As Rashi said in Chavei Amid Beis, the reason that the Rabbanan hold you cannot be Mashke, the woman is not a Bas Banim, the Akara or the Sekena, if the husband has no children or other wife, is because she is not a Bas, she is not royal Isha, she is Nismayif in the same place as any other Chayvei Lavin. However, she's not a classic Chayvei Lavin because it's easily fixable, this problem, as we already brought from the Rambam. The man doesn't need to have both a woman and a child. It's enough if he just has a wife. So as long as he marries some other woman, that already matir that marriage to this woman who is not a bas banim. So because it was a case which was in the middle, on the one hand, the Isha herself is not really Isha. She is not like a Muberes, which right now you can't be mashka her, but the woman herself will become Mutter. And even a Muberes Chavero, which Rabbanan held, you could be mashka, and she was usher in the meantime, but this woman herself will become Mutter. This is the svara that the Kerem Netta says, the reason why the Rabbanan are mechalik between Muberes Chavero, that they said you could be mashka, and an Isha she'ena bas banim, they said you cannot be mashka, because the Isha, which is ena bas banim, will never become Mutter on her own right, only once you marry some other woman. Whereas Muberes Chavero will be Mutter on her own once the requisite time elapses. So since there's this problem in marrying the Isha She'ena Bas Banim Be'etzem, however, it is a fixable problem, it's a problem which has a solution, then we said you need a higher level of kashrus. It's not required that they be kosher the entire time, like any other Chayvei Lavin, the women who were not royally Ishus Lagamri. That's the we said that then the Sar would be that you need them to be kosher mitchila v'atzof. On the other hand, they don't have the kula of the women who are only nismayit from the parasha of Sota, like Muberes Atzmo, or like Ishus Cheresh, because there the Be'etzim royally Ishus Lagamri. We decided that we need a higher level of kashrus, the kashrus that Yerushalmi says of Shas Kinui. In other words, if at the beginning of the process of Sota, when the man began the whole ball rolling, at the Iker, the Shoresh of the whole problem of the kinoi, he's dealing with a woman that he was able to be mashka because at that point he was married to another woman or he had children. Even if at some later point the woman becomes nidche, the man loses his pru revu, he loses his children, he loses his wife. Well, since it was tchilasa bekashrus, since the ikar, the beginning of the process was bekashrus, and it's fixable, this problem that one has with the isha she'ena bas banim, then we'll say it's enough. However, if at the beginning of the process, at the time of the kinoi that Yerushalmi is telling us, the man was not able to be mashka this woman, she was not a royal isha as things were, because he was not married to another woman or didn't have children. So even if later on he gets children or gets another wife, still we'll say she was already nitchev in the parasha of Sota. So it wasn't chilasa bekashrus. Then we'll say that the shaskina was not met, and you cannot be mashker even though later on she becomes a bas shtia. So just to summarize the issue here, which we see in our sigya of Eina Bas Banim, we learn from Rashi that the reason that these women are dismayed from shtia according to the Rabbanan is because they're not royally ishus. We saw the Yerushalmi said a klal that it's really dependent whether or not the royal isha is at the time of the kinoi or only later. That if the time of the kinoi is enough to allow us to be mashka, these women, whereas if it's only later, then it's not enough. The suffix of the achronim as to the extent of this Yerushalmi, if it applies to other isurim or other miutim in the parasha, as well as the questions of the Keren Ora asked both in Svara, why kinoi should be enough, and the examples, the instances in which we find that even if the woman is not roi for shtia at the kinoi, she becomes roi later, you can be mashka. And the Mahalach we suggested, in part based on the Sefer Dvar Shol, that a woman who's not royal ishtia, then, not royal ishus, there's an Isra in the marriage, then we'll say she has to be Roy Mitchilevat Sof, as opposed to a woman who is Roy Leishas, but there is some internal Sota Miut that says you cannot be Masker, then it's be enough. If at any point she's Shaykh to the Parsha. And the middle ground is our Sigil, the story of the Yushalmi of Isha Shenabas Manim, who on the one hand is not Roy Leishas as her own, but because it's fixable, this problem to marry another woman, therefore we say if she has a high level Kashrus, she was not Nitcha from the beginning, she was Shaykh to the Parsha of Kino at the beginning, then it's enough to be Masker, even if later on she becomes Nitcha. The Gemara towards the bottom of Amud Aleph brings the din of the Mishnah that even an Ishes Koyin whose Shoisa is Muteres Labaila, and the Gemara explains the Chiddush of this Halacha is talking in a case of Misnavna Derech Evarim, where the woman progressively gets weaker Derech Evarim. We'll explain what that means shortly. And the Chiddush is that we don't say that that which is Misnavna Derech Evarim is a simon, that she was Mizana Be'ones, and she's also to a Kohen in the event that she was Mizana Be'ones. Kamash on the Mishnah that even though she has this phenomenon of being Misnam to Derech Evarim, we don't assume that there was Nus even Be'ones. Now, this Gemara needs beer from a few angles. First of all, it seems that the Gemara has its sad that the man would be Bodek, the woman, even if she is Mizana Be'ones. L'chaira, if it's Be'ones, what did she do wrong? She's was forced, she was coerced. Why is she held responsible? In fact, Mishnah Melech even has its sad L'fi the Maskana of the Gemara that in the event that she actually was Mizana Be'ones, in fact, she is Nidaka de the Mayim, she'll get the full punishment of the Mayim. This is a tremendous Chiddush. But even if it's only a Havman in the Gemara, what's the Pshat? Why would we have thought that the woman deserves to the punishment of the Mesota if she was honest? So here we have the Tozer Rush. He offers a explanation. He says that, in this case, the Baal wasn't Mekane to the woman. We're discussing whether there had been Kinui and Stira. And it's obvious the Baal wasn't Mekane without any context. He saw some pritzos in his wife. He saw some inappropriate behavior on the part of his wife. And therefore, we might have said that, even though it's true, at the end of the day, this nus itself took place by onas, but to some extent, she wasn't an innocent party. Because of the pritzos, the way that she acted, Tozer Rush says we might have thought that she is somewhat held accountable for what happens later, and therefore, in the event that she is an Eishes Kohen, she will in fact be Nivdak, i.e. the Mayim, even though the Zuz was by onas, but because of her pritzos, she brought it upon herself. The Sefer Dvar Shaul offers an alternative mahalach as to why we would have thought that Ones is Nivdak Adi the Mayim. It is that in this situation where the woman, if we are to say the woman was Mizana Be'ones, so she really should not be entering the whole procedure of the Mesota. She should have informed her husband, who was a Kohen Bepashtus, to say that she had a Nus Be'ones that was done to her, in which case she becomes Asa to her husband. The fact that now she's going through the entire process of the Mesota and being Mochik, the Shem Hashem in the process, and if she in fact turns out that she won't be Nivdak, which L'chara, she won't be in the Maskana because she was only Be'ones, they'll think she's Mutter. This is a tremendous mikshal she's putting to her husband. So because of these two averas, A, that she was causing the Shem Hashem to be Nimchak, Shelo Letzorech, and B, that she's being Machshel, her husband, and herself, that she's really Usher because she was Mizana Be'ones, then we would have thought, at least Nahamina, that she should have been Nivdak had she been Be'ones, and the simon for that was Misnavna Derech Evarim. So that's the pshatim that we have, why they were at least thought that the B'dika of Ones would have happened. Now, in terms of what Misnavna Derech Evarim means, here we have the Pashtos and Machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi seems to say that the Misnavna Derech Evarim is fundamentally different than the normal Misnavna. The normal Misnavna affects the Evarim that the May Marim do in fact eventually cause a woman to die from wounds and injuries to those Evarim, the Yerechayim, and the Me'ayim, the Sipsukim say in Parshas Naso. So normal Misnavna affects those Evarim, whereas the Misnavna Derech Evarim refers to different Evarim in the woman, as Rashi says, Shara Vireha Virosha Kveden Aleha. She has other illness, other weakness, in different parts of her body, and that's a clear distinction that we can draw, we could see, between the normal Misnavna of the woman who is Mizana Be'ratzon and this alleged Iznos Be'ones that Al-Gemara discusses. However, the Rambam in Perek Gimel, Hilchosota, Halacha Chaf Aleph, implies not like Rashi, because the Lashon of the Rambam is, when he discusses an Eishes Kohen, the Af Al Pi Shehischilu Hachaloyim Lavu Aleha, V'cholu Shar Avireha, Hoyal V'loit Sav Sabitna, V'lo Hischil Yerecha Linpol, Harezim Muteres. If the Gemara is discussing where the Chalayim begin, and both the Brisker Rav, both back in the Avav, and the Dvar Shal here in our Sigur Medayik, that the Mashmas Ramam is the Chalayim, the same Chalayim, which Ramam earlier described, would have come upon the woman had she been a regular misnavna, had she already in fact been mizana ba'ines, and there is a schos toila or something to that effect which would make her misnavna. This also happened in this case, that she began to experience the same illnesses, the same weaknesses that would have indicated the beginning of the process of the onesh of nefilas hayarech and svisas habeten. But because the Rambam says that it didn't happen yet, because her beten and her yerechaim haven't yet been affected, even though the process seemed to have begun, the same chaloyim that normally come and are misnavim have come, but because it's, as of yet, it's not yet reached the beten and the yerech, then we assume she's still muteret. So the Rambam is much bigger chiddush than Rashi, obviously. The Rambam is discussing a case where, for all we can tell, this is going to be a normal bedika of this woman. She's going to eventually suffer the same punishment of every sota. And yet, nonetheless, we don't assume she is mizana ba'ones, and she remains muter to her husband, even though she is a kohen. And the implication being that, certainly, it's pashut. What do we need the Mishnah to tell us? That if she aces Yisrael, she'd be muteris, since in that situation, onus is not aser. Hagam, that there seems to be circumstantial evidence to say that the woman is on her way to experiencing the punishment of the sota. And this, of course, is tzarech bir. Why don't we say that these simonim are reasons for us to say that the mayim was botik the woman, and she is going to be aser to her husband? So the aforementioned briskerov, Bekandavov, addresses this question. And he says, it's muchach, from the way the Rambam learned our sugya, a very important yesod in the nature of mesota. He says, first of all, the mesota does what we would call a birur. It's mevarer b'taras vadai that the woman is tahira, she wasn't mezana. To the extent even that the Gemara there, Navav, says that if the woman drinks and she's not bechlal affected by the mayim, even if edim come and later say that they witnessed that the woman was mezana, we would assume they're edim shakronim, they're liars, because the mayim rather did a bedika vadoyis to say that the woman was tahira. That's one effect that the mayim has. But there's another koach, another effect that the mayim has, and that is a heter. The mayim also created heter for the iser that the kinah v'stira placed on a woman. A woman is considered a sota. There's an iser of sota to the baal after the kinah v'stira. And the way the Torah prescribes to lift this iser is the procedure of the mesota. And if the woman drinks the mesota, then even if we can't conclusively prove b'toras vada, we can't be mevarer, there is some indication, perhaps, that the woman was tamea. But so long as the way the Torah says she'll be nivdak, which is in her beten and in her yerechaim, she hasn't yet been nivdak, and she's still around, then there's a heter. The heter for the isra of kinah v'stira is given, and the isra is lifted to say she's muteres labayla. That's yesod in our Rambam as well. And therefore, circumstantial evidence of nisnavda derech evarim, because it's not the actual bedika, the way that the Torah says she'll be punished, even though there is an indication that she's on the way, but the heter that the woman enjoys based on the fact that she drank and was not yet nivdak the normal way is a raya. Excuse me, it's not a raya, but it's enough for us to say that the isra has been lifted. That's the yisod of the Rambam here is teaching us. And the Biskrav says, once we have this in our minds, we can understand the shakra of the Tire of our Gemara as well. The Gemara thought all this is true with regard to Eishes Yisrael. And Eishes Yisrael, who's only going to be Asura, she's Mizana, Biratzon, so then the Mayim will always be able to give us a Heter and a Bedika and a Birer. She'll always be able to know both Betaras Vadai and Betaras Heter that the woman was not Mizana. But when it comes to an Eishes Kayin, we thought that the only thing which will matter her to her husband, because even Ones, Nusba Ones will have asked her, the only thing that will matter her is the high level of a Bira Bavadai, something which is conclusive, something that proves beyond the shadow of a doubt that she was not Mizana. But if there's any question, if the Biror is not conclusive, and there is circumstantial evidence to say that the woman is being nivdak, that there is some indication that the process has begun, then she will not deserve the heter. And Eishes Kohen does not deserve the heter because of the possibility of onus. That was the havmin of our Gemara. And then our Gemara says, no, kamash shalom, that's our Mishnah tells us, that she's muteris labaila, that an Eishes Kohen also enjoys a heter. She also can acquire a heter after drinking the mechatas, irrespective of whether there's conclusive proof that she was not mezana. But we're not choshish for onus. We don't presume that there is onus at the end of the day, and therefore or even if there might be an indication that she is Tamea, but we don't need that. It's enough that we have the heter, the fact that the suffix has been lifted, the heter that the woman drank and was not nivdak in the way the Torah said, that's enough for us to say she's muteres labayla, and that's what our Gemara is saying is the chiddush, and Eishes Kohen, that we're not choshish for ones in this instance. So to summarize, the sugya here of Nisnavda Derech Ivarim, we saw the Gemara, at least in its Havamina, had a Havamina that the Mayim would be Botik and Eishes Kohen if she's Mizana. But Ones, we explained that based on the Toz Rush and as far from the Sefer Rashol, we saw as well Machokas between Rashi and the Rambam as to the definition of Misnadva Derech Evarim, and we explained the Chiddush of the Gemara based on the Sod of the Brisker Rabbanan Vav, that the Mayim, in addition to making a birur that the woman is Bevadet Tahiret, also gives her a heter for the Isser Kinah V'Stira, and that will be true even if there is circumstantial evidence that she's Tameya. And the Shaka Tavar Gemara was whether or not it's true for a Kohen as well, or even as Nusba Ones will ask her, and the Gemara's conclusion is that even on an Ishes Kohen, she does have the heter that the Mayim will afford her. The Gemara Amid Beis cites the memory of Rav Hamnuna that Ovik Achavim Mekanen Al Yodo, that one can do kinui to his wife, that she shouldn't be Nistar with a Goy. Now, even though this is not the Iker Sugya, we should mention what the Rishonim here debate if there's a raya from this Gemara against the famous psak of Rabbeinu Tam regarding Bias Akum. Rabbeinu Tam paskined that if a woman who is an Eishes Ish is Mizana with a Goy, and then subsequently the Goy is Mizgayer, then even though normally who's the Boyel, the woman is always usher to him forever. That's the din of Echad L'Baal of Echad L'Boyel. We'll see more about it in the coming blood in our Masechta. But since Rabbeinu Tam says, since this man was a Goy, and the Bia of a Goy is considered to be like a Bias Behema, like the Pasuk says, Zirma Susim, Zirma Sam, therefore, the Isra L'Boyel does not exist, and if the Goy is Mizgayer, the woman, who obviously was divorced at some previous point, is allowed to marry this Boel. Now, the Rivam is quoted in the Tosus and Ksubis Daf Gimel, as well as the Tosa Rush, in Arsugia, and other places, poses a sharp question against Rabbeinu Tam from our Gemara of Rav Hamnuna. Our Gemara says that one can be Mekane to his wife from a Goy, the Pashas being that the regular procedure of Pasha Sota exists, that the Goy will create an Isser of Isser on the Baal, Midin Sota, and as well the Isser on the Boyel will come along. How can Rabbeinu Tam say that the Isser on the Boyel will not be true in the case of Bias Goy? And moreover, Rabbeinu Tam's rationale for saying that why the Bias Akum does not Usser is because it's like a Bias Behema, and a Bias Behema, as our Gemara says, Ain's Nusla Behema, there's no Din's Nusla Behema, it doesn't have a Shem Bia Bechlal. So what the name Rabbeinu Tam said, there's an equation we can draw between a Goy and a Behema that as well Ain's Nusla Goy. However, our Gemara Mineu Bei is a Pirch on that, because our Gemara does draw a distinction with regard to the Parashah of Sota between a Goy and a Behema. It says that Ain's Nusla Behema, and therefore that's what the Mishnah meant when it said that one cannot be Mekana to someone who's an Ainu Ish, it means that it's a Behema. And that the Parashah of Sota doesn't Bechlal exist, there's no Kina, there's no Stira, there's no Isra Bechlal with regard to this Nusla of a Behema. Whereas for a Goy, it's not the case. For a Goy, the Parsha does exist, there is a Kinui, and therefore we can presumably say that the Isra Lebal would exist, and we cannot do not see from our Gemara the equation Bechlal between a Goy and a Behema. If anything, the opposite is true. We see the Gemara distinguishes between Goy and a Behema. That's the Kasha, which is leveled at Rabbeinu Tam by the Rivam. Now, in terms of Bim Yashav Rabbeinu Tam, we'll offer an answer in a few moments in the shame of the Beis Halevi. What we will, however, say what the Rush, in Tosa Rush and Arsugi, as well as in the Rush and Ksuvis in the first parak, does defend the Psak of Rabbeinu Tam from our Gemara, Shalom Itameh. He says a different Mahalach to explain that which Rabbeinu Tam said, that the Bias Goy does not have the Isra Boyel, but not for the same reason Rabbeinu Tam gave. Rabbeinu Tam gave the reason because Bias Goy is like a Bias Behema, doesn't have a Shem's Nus Bechlal. The Rosh said, no, really it's true that the Bias Goy does have a Shem's Nus, and that's the argument saying that Ovik Achav Mekanen Al Yodo, but there's a distinction we can draw between the Isra Labal and the Isra Laboyel. And Tosafos Rosh explains that which we say, that Nesir Labal, Nesir Laboyel, that because the Boyel's Bia, alleged Bia, assers the woman on her Baal as well, she's Asser on the Boyel, that's only going to be true when anyway, until now, the woman was not Asser to the Boyel. The Boyel was a person who was mutter to her. But if the Boyel anyway was usher to her, even prior to this Bia, then even though this Bia will usher her on the Baal, this will not be Mosif, another Isser of Bia, onto the Boyel. And he proves this from the Gemara at the top of the Amud, when the Gemara discussed the case of being Mekanen on Arias. The Gemara there said that we need the Pasuk of Anitma, Nitma, Shtei Pa'amim to tell us that even where you have a situation which is anyway Asura to the Boyel, for example, and the Boyel is one of the Arayis, still, there is the Parashah of Sota. We still have the Halacha of Echad L'Baal, the Echad L'Boyel. That's the Chiddush of a Mishnah, that Mekanen Al Yad, any of the Arayis. On that, the Tosafos Rosh says that even though the Nitma of the Baal exists, that's what that Gemara is saying over there, that the Nitma of the Baal will initiate the Parashah of Sota to Asar on the Baal, but the Nitma on the Baal we don't have. We can split between the Tumah to the Baal, the fact that she becomes Asar to the Baal after becoming a Sota, and to become Asar to the Boel. Now, in the Gemara, at the top, when the Gemara discussed Arayis, it didn't really matter, because Arayis don't have a Heter to them, and even if there's no additional Isser of Isser Laboyel, but anyway, she'll be Asr Machmas the Erva. But in the case of a Goy, it'll make an Afkamina, because since when the man was a Boyel, when he was with the Sota, he was a Goy, so even though at that point he was Asr Termidin Goy, but since Isser Boyel doesn't come on, if the man's later in his Gayer, then we will not now place in him the Isser Boyel. We will say that since Isser Boyel did not come initially, he'll not have Isser Boyel Bechlal, and therefore we have to pass on Leger Beinu Tam, Shlomi Tamei, that if the man is in his Gayer, you won't have an Isser Boyel on the woman. That's how the Rush learns the Psak of the Rabbeinu Tam, Shlomi Tamei, that even though there is an Isser Labal, but because the Isser Laboyel existed anyway, the Boyel was a Goyim, was also to the woman irrespective, therefore there is no additional Isser Boyel placed in her after the Barashah Sota. In the event the Heter will come along, in the case he's in his Gayer, then he will not have an Isser Boyel Bechlal. And again, in a few moments we'll explain perhaps the possibility how Rabbeinu Tam learned the Gemara Lishita say that the Isser, that the Bia of the Goy is like the Bia of the Behem. There's a beautiful Mahalach of the Beis Halevi, which really goes through many of the sigas we have here on Chavav and Beis, which he demonstrates several nafkaminas and machlokas in between Tosus and the Rambam, is totally on, revolves around one singular question as to the nature of the Isser Sota, how it relates to the Kepeda de Baal. We already made reference to this a little bit back in the Chav Dalet. Now we'll broaden and show how several of the machlokas and Tosus and the Rambam are going to be totally on this question. The Shoresh of the issue that the Beis Halevi is raising is at the Gemara at the bottom. The Gemara at the bottom discusses a case of where the man is mekana to his wife, derech evarim. In other words, he is expressing that he's not concerned that during the stira she might have with the alleged boyel, he'll be bald her kedarko, the regular type of bia, but rather they'll just have a bia derech evarim, which is not an osa makum in the isha. And the Gemara asks, that's only pritsusa, it's pasha that it's not going to asa her on the husband because there's no bia b'chlal, it's only pritsus ba'alma. And that the Gemara says, no, there's a havamina. The Gemara, 3 lines in the bottom, says, ma'a detema b'kpeda de ba'al talya milsa, u'ba'al ha'kakabit, that the entire Pasha of Sota gets rolling because the ba'al was makbid, because the ba'al was makana to his wife. And therefore, we might have thought as well that the ba'al, if he expresses a certain type of concern, what they might do during the stira, that will also be a reason for us to say that the Isser stira will come if that happens, and even if he's only if the boil is only boil her derech evarim, that will also ask her. Kamashvon, that's the chiddush of the pasuk, that's not the case. Now, the question remains, is this a klal? Or as do we see from this Gemara, the klal, that derech, that kepeda de baal makes no difference? Is that what the Gemara is saying in the Kamashvon, that kepeda de baal plays no role into saying something which is not an bia in other circumstances, it's also not going to be a bia in regarding the sota hagam that there is kepeda de baal? Or do we say, no, the fact that the Gemara considers that perhaps the bia derech ivarim because of the kepeda de baal would have been something which would oster the woman and her husband, even though normally it wouldn't, but once a baal is megala das, that he's makbid, we do say it will oster. Does that show us that really this is a tree so, that in fact, whenever the baal will be makbid, there could be a situation where the bia will oster her, even though normally it wouldn't? And only here, derech evarim, do we have a mia to say that's not the case. That's the question, which the Beis Halevi says is really going to be the machlokes between Tosfos and the Rambam in many of the situations in our sugya. We'll start at the top. The Gemara discussed the Mishnah that said that one cannot be mekana to a katan, that if one is choshesh, that the woman is going to be nister with a katan, that's not called a kinui, and the parasha of Sota doesn't exist. Now, there are two machlokes between Tosfos and the Rambam regarding the nature of this miat on the katan. Tosfos is mavur, and the Vermasal Aval, they were discussing a katan who's ready or bar bia. As the Gemara many times in the Shas says that a katan who is above 9 years old, his bia is a bia for all halachas in the Torah. He has a shem bia once shem ma'isa bia once he's ready 9. Tosis is of the opinion that that's the katan we're discussing. Katan is already 9. And that's who the Gemara meant to be memayed from the pasuk of Ish Amar Rachmana Valei Katan, that even a Katan whose Bia is a Bia, because he is already 9. Nonetheless, we say Ish to say that even if the man is Mekana, he's concerned his wife will be Mityachid with the Katan, that doesn't make a difference because he's not an Ish, and the Pasha of Sota does not exist. However, the Rambam is Mavur, that no, we're discussing even a Katan who's less than 9 years old. Even the Tzad that the man might have that is going to be Mityachid with a child less than 9 years old, that's also what the Gemara, that's what is the Gemara discussing. And in fact, the Mashmaus of the Rambam is, there's in fact no Miyad Bechlal on the Katan who is more than 9. Katan who is already 9, and his Bia is a Bia, the Mashmaus of the Rambam would be, there's no limitation Bechlal. Yes, there is the full Kinoi, and there is even a Shtias Mesota in that situation. Now, a corollary machlokas with regard to katan that we have between Tosus and the Rambam is what is the meat the Gemara is making? That which the Mishnah said you cannot be mekane to a katan, and the Gemara brought a pasuk on that from the word ish, prat le katan, what's a being memayit? Is the being memayit the katan from the entire parasha? That even if there is kinah v'stira with a katan, the woman is not even usher to her husband? Or do we say no? The woman will be usher to her husband. The only meat that we have is on the shtia, similar to what we saw at the beginning of our parak with regard to Arusa and Shemiras Yavam, that the pasuk we had over there, ish, isha, prat la arusa, is only memayit the arusa from the parsha of sota for the shtia, but there still is an isser of sota if there is kinah v'stira with the arusa. Same thing should be true for the katan as well. Or no, do we say that the miyad is legamre? Now, Tosus, in that same Tosus, the Ramaskal Aval, he says that the miyad is only on the shtia. The miyad that the Gemara is bringing, that we say that you cannot be mekana to a katan, is only with regard to the fact you cannot be mashke on the kinah v'stira to a katan, but the isser would apply, and this is a corollary to that which Tosus said, that we're discussing a katan who's already 9 years old. Because Tosus figures, look, if it's a bia, the bia, the katan, is nine, there's no reason for us to say that the isser should not exist. The bia was a bia asura, and it should be a bia which will asa her on her husband. The only thing is that the Torah was mamayit from the parasha of sotah for the shtia, from the pasuk of ish, below katan. However, the Rambam, in the mashmos, in that, over there in the halacha, in parak alef, in the chasotah, is mashmos, it's not like that. The Rambam is mavur, that we're mamayit the katan, even from the isser, that when the kinu is given for a katan, again, the Rambam says we're discussing a katan who's less than nine, then the miyat that the Gemara here brings from ish pra'la katan is even on the isser itself. Beis Halevi says that these two issues are related, and they relate to the question that we raised before. And he says, let's examine the Rambam Shita first. The Rambam says that even a katan who's not 9 years old, the Gemara was discussing. How can that be? The bia of a katan in kol hashas kula is not a bia. How can it be all of a sudden here that we'll make something from nothing? We'll say that the bia of a katan will ask you, we need a pasuk to say that the parash of shota doesn't exist. It's pasha. There's no bia bechlal. And that the Beit Levi says, no. That's what the Rambam learned from the Gemara of Derech Ivar. That the Gemara there had a tzad that the Kpeda de Baal will transform something which normally wouldn't be a Bia, which would Aser at all. It's talking about not Bechlal a Bia. It's only Derech Evarim. Still, we need a Pusik to say that that Bia does not exist. The same thing should be true for the Bia of Katan, Bachas Mitesha, even though in Kol HaShas it's not considered to be a Bia. But since the Baal expresses Kpeda, he's concerned that this will happen with this Katan who's less than 9 years old, that will transform that into a Shem Bia to Aser her on the husband. And therefore, the Gemara needs a pasuk to say even that type of katan as well is nismayit. And once he's nismayit, the Rambam's of the opinion is nismayit legamri. Because if it's not a bia, the same way in the, it's pashut, by the halacha of derech evarim, that once we have a miyat, there is no isra bechlal, there's no tzad bia there bechlal, that's what the pasuk taught us over there. Similarly, over here, the pasuk of ishpa ala katan is going to be mayit, the stira of the katan, the kinyan, the stira of the katan, legamri from the parasha. Tosus learned that no, that the Gemara is telling us a klal that the pasuk of Pishkevei Isha, which told us that Derech Ivarim is not a problem, is telling us that Kpeda de Baal makes no difference. Kpeda de Baal is not play a role bechlal in determining what kind of isurim we can have in the bia of sota. And the Tosus therefore figure that there's no tzar in the world that a katan is less than 9 years old. We need a pasuk bechlal to say that you cannot be mekana to him or that he's usher after his bia, because there's no bia bechlal. The only tzar was a katan who is more than nine, that he does have a bia bechol hashas kulo. Then we needed a pasuk to say that there shouldn't be a parasha of sota. And even that miyad is only regarding the shtia of the woman in such a kinyan v'stira. But the iser, since it is a bia gemura, then avada we would say that the iser does exist and the man is not going to be mutter to his wife after the stira of a katan. Beis Levi points out there's a very big raya in the Gemara to the Rambam, because already the Gemara, already the Mishnah already says that the same thing is, which is true for a katan, is true for Misha Eino Ish. That the Gemara has the whole sugya, you're trying to figure out who's this person who's Eino Ish. Is it a shachuf? Is it a goy? The Gemara has all different possibilities. In the end, the Gemara comes out that it's a behema. Now, in the case of a behema, it's pashut, that the behema is, as our Gemara says, is noznos bechlal, and it's pashut then that the miyat that we have from ish prat le behema is regarding everything in the parsha, not only the parsha, not only the shtia, but also the isser as well. And therefore, it would stand to follow that if the Gemara, the Mishnah, is comparing and equating the katan with mishenu ish, it should come out the same way the behema is going to be nismayit legamri from the parasha of sota, because there's no bechlal to the behema. Same thing should be true for katan. Whereas if we told you there's a major difference between them, the katan is not nismayit legamri from the parasha; it's only nismayit from the shtia. Whereas behema will not even have the iser of sota as well. The Beis Levi points out the lashon of the Mishnah is also more like the Rambam, because when the Mishnah discussed Arusa v'Shomeres Yavam, that there was a situation, as we mentioned, where there's an iser but there's no shtia. Shviya. The Lashon of the Mishnah was, Lo Shosos, V'lo Notas Ksubasan. So it was Mashra, there would have been a Din Kino on them, just not for Shviya, only for Isser. Whereas when it comes over here to Katan and to Behema, the Lashon of the Mishnah is completely different. The Lashon is, Ein Mekanin, L'Katan, Ulamisha Eino Ish. And therefore, the Mashmas is like the Rambam, that there is no Kinoi Bechlal, even for the Isser, which is Shaykh to a Katan. And that's what the Rambam concluded. We're discussing a Katan who is not 9 years old. The Havmina was, it should be like the Abiy of Derech Ivarim, which would be only made into a bia because it created the baal, and that's what the Bosa says, not like that. But la'olam, katan is more than 9, there's no mir b'chalal, that would be the mechalukas ma'amam and tosus l'maisa, if one can be mekana to his wife, and a katan who's more than 9 years old. That's one sugya in which we see this mechalukas and tosus and the ma'amam played out on the fronts of whether or not a katan who's less than 9 needed a pasuk, as well whether or not the katan is his might from the iser, or only from the shtia. Another mechalukas, the Beis Levi refers to, regards a shachov. The Gemara considers the possibility that the Mishnah, when it said Mishenu Ish, was referring to a shachov. Now, what is a shachov? So here we have, again, a machlokas between bapashas, between Rashi and the Rambam on one hand, and Tosas on the other hand. Rashi says that a shachov is b'saro nishchaf v'kala v'yavesh v'ein bo koach. The Rambam is mefarish a little bit more. Who is she'enu miskasha? He's not able to achieve the kishu ha'ever, which is necessary to do a normal bia. And that's the Beis Levi at least understands. That's what Rashi means when he says ein bo koach. That's how the Rambam defines a shachov in Hilchos Sota at the beginning. However, Tosfos in the Ramasal Shachov, quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, says a different shot. It says, She'eno bol kedarko, ve'eno mazriya. The implication of Rabbeinu Chananel is that the man is able to have a kishu, he's able to do a maisa bia, it just won't be a bia kedarko, won't be able to be mazriya at the end of the day. Now, the Tosfos is discussing something which is a shame bia. It is a shame bia. There is a kishu ha'ever. However, the man is not able to conclude the maisa bia. However, the Rambam, as well as Rashi, implies that we're discussing a man who's not able to have a bia bechlal. Because as the Gemara says in Shavuos, in Afyur Ches, that someone who's mishamish mace ba'arayas, it means that the aver of the man was mace, was not bekishui during the bia, is potter. It doesn't have a shame bia to implicate him in the iser of isri bia with arayas. Now, if the Rambam is discussing a shachof, who's someone who's not able to be miskasha, is not able to have a ever chai, then we see again a case where the Rambam is discussing something which there's no bia, it's not shame bia b'chal on the maisa, and yet still it'll aser for sota. Or that is maskana singora, that shachov is you can do kinu and a shachov. So again, the Beis Levi says this is the machlokes lishitasim. According to Tosfos, that we know havmina something which is not a bia that we would need be able to be mayit and that you can have a pasha sota on. So it's pasha. You could not have been like the Rambam that someone who doesn't have kishio ha'ever, because that's not a shem bia in all kol torah kula. There's no tzad that kpeid de baal would make any difference for that. However, the Rambam who learned that kpeid de baal in any given case would transform a something which is not a bia in general to something which will aser because of the Baal was makban on it, so on a shachav as well. That's what happens when the baal is makana to a shachav, even though the bia he has is the bia she'eno bia b'chal tarkulah, it's mishamish meis ba'arayis. Nonetheless, here the kpeid of the baal will turn it into a bia, and in fact, there will be a parashav sota from the shachav. Beis Levi notes this is also seemed to be the pashtus of the tour on the Darkei Moshe in Evan Ezra Siman Chaf. The tour there discusses the types of bias on arayis, which for which one is chayiv misa. Now, the Darkei Moshe is puzzled over there. The Rama, he's puzzled. Why is it that the Torah bothered discussing which type of bios and arayis a person is chayiv misa? Anyway, we don't have chayiv misa b'smanenu. So in that, the Darkei Moshe says, the Torah must have been telling us that the same type of bios, the same standard or quality of bios that will be mechayiv someone misa boil erva, will also make an isha surah labayla if she has those sug bios, if she has those types of bios. Now, the Beis Shmuel over there, and Siman Chaf asks the Rama, he says, L'chara, this cannot be true, that the Torah is giving an exhaustive list of all the types of bios which will aser on her baal, because the Torah over here says that someone who's mishamish be'ever meis is potter. That's the Gemara in Shavuos that we cited, that mishamish be'ish ba'arayis is not chayiv misa. The Beis Shmuel asks, but we see in Hilchos Sota, in Siman Kufayin Ches, and have an answer, that we pass him as Argamar says with regard to a Shachov, that even someone who is not Miskasha, as the Rambam said, there is a Bia, there is an Isser of a Sota. Once you have Kinevastira, she is Nesra Labaila. So the Beis Shmuel asks, L'chor, we cannot say the Torah's list is exhaustive, because we see cases where there is no Chiv Misa, and yet the woman will be Asra Labaila, she has that type of bia. Now, Beis Levi points out, if the Beis Shmuel is right, the Torah is very difficult. If the Torah is not giving us an exhaustive list, so what is he doing, Bechlal? His whole point has to be, like Rama said, to tell us the type of bia in which a woman who has the bia will not be Aser Labal if she has this type of bia. So how can the Torah give us a type of bia which she will be Aser Labal? And that basically the answer is no. The Torah and the Moshe held like the Rambam. And therefore, there's going to be a fundamental difference between the case there that the Torah was discussing, where it's dumb. If a woman had a bia of that sort, of that nature, there she will not be Aser Labal, as the Torah wrote, since you won't be Chayiv Misa, as opposed to the Halacha Hilchos Sota that the Beis Shmuel related of Kina Vistira. Kina Vistira changes the whole picture. Kina Vistira shows us the Baal was Makbid, therefore it can't transform the type of Bia, which is not normally a Bia, which will Aser. That's what the Torah said over there in Simon Chav. It'll make it into a Bia, which will Aser Alabayla. And therefore the Ramah and the Torah are consistent. When it comes to standard Bia of Ever Sheino Chai, of Ever Mace, without Kishui, then the Torah is saying that she's not Chai Misa, and the Ramah is saying as well that the woman is Mutaris Alabayla. If, for example, Adam, let's say, saw she was Nivellas to a man, but Ever Mace, she'll be Mutaris Alabayla. When it comes to a Sota, everything's different. When it comes to the fact that the man was makbid and said there's kina vistira on this type of bia, the bia of a shachov, a bia of someone who's not miskasha, then there will be an Israel Baal. So that's the Beis Halevi theorizes. This will also be the opinion of the Torah and the Ramah, the whole like the Rambam, and not like the Tosfos. As well, the Beis Halevi says, it's Havana in the Rambam, as well as he's suggesting the Torah and the Ramah agree with, that Kepeda de Baal can transform something which was not a bia normally into a bia, is what lies behind the Rabbeinu Tam that we mentioned earlier. Rabbeinu Tam had paskened that the bia of a goy is normally not a bia, and therefore there's no iser la boyel. The Beis Halevi suggests that the pshat of Rabbeinu Tam could be based on this idea of created the baal. If the baal is mekana to the goy, that will change the situation, and that will make it, even though normally it's a bias behema, still here it'll be have a shame bia, and there's no mian on it like we have with regard to behema itself. The behema itself, there is a mian to say that even if he's mekana to the behema, since he's ish, so therefore, as Argomar says, so therefore there's no kini bechlal. With regard to a guy, there isn't such a miyut, and therefore the Isser of Boyel will exist in the Parsha of Sota. Mashenka, in the case of Rabbeinu Tam is not talking whether it was kini vistira, Stam, the one who was Mazana with the guy, and therefore, even though normally it's an Isser at Boyel, but because the Boyel there was a guy and it was like a behema, then it doesn't have the shame's nus bechlal. Only in the case of kini vistira, the Baal took this bia of the behema, the guy who was the behema, and he transformed it to a real bia, and there's no mian in such a thing, and therefore, there would be a Parsha Sota, even according to Rabbeinu Tam, if one is mekane to the bia of a guy. So to summarize the Mahalach of the Beis Halevi here in our Sugya, he demonstrates in several examples in the Sugya of Katan and the Sugya of Shachuf and of Behema that there seems to be a Lishitosim, the Machlokas between Tosis and the Rambam, whether or not there's a Tzad that in any given case, that the Kepeda de Baal can transform something which would not be a B in general, but if there is a Kinui from the Baal on that type of Bia, then it can be something which will Aser, and we need a Pasuk in any given case to remind it. That's the Rambam held. Or do we say like Tosfos that no, that once we see the pasuk of Mishke Ve'isha is Memayit, halacha of Derech Evarim, that shows us that no, Kepeda de Baal makes absolutely no difference. The only thing that matters is it is Shem Bia B'chol HaTorah Kula. And as well, we saw this played out in the Ramah and the Tur in Eben Ezra Simon Chav as opposed to the Beis Shmuel over there. As well, the Beis Halevi suggests that's a Pshat Rabbeinu Tam to defend his psak about the Isser Boyel on the Goy, Mar Gemar, that the case of Kinui is completely different, that there, even though normally the Bia of a Goy is like a Bia Mehema, but the Kepeda de Baal will make it into a Bia for so.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.